Mary Magdalene finds the tomb empty and she runs away to tell Peter, they have taken him away and I don't know where he is. For her, the moment of the resurrection is a moment of consternation. For Peter, he comes to the tomb, he walks in, he sees the garment, the linen cloth on the ground, and we're told nothing else. The other disciple sees exactly what Peter sees. He sees the empty tomb. He sees the linen cloth on the ground. And the author of the scripture text says simply, and he believed. Later on, Mary Magdalene will meet the Lord in the garden. And on the evening of the resurrection, Peter will meet the Lord in the upper room. And they too will believe. But the other disciple believed without seeing. The other disciple saw the winding cloths, and that was enough. Well, there are times when you and I don't see the fullness of life that God has granted us. There are times when you and I, all we see is an emptiness, as Peter and Magdalene saw that tomb. And the challenge is to still believe. The challenge is to still say yes. The challenge is to affirm life. The challenge is to recognize the gift that God has given, even when I cannot see. The resurrection of Jesus is an object of faith. And you and I are invited to walk by faith. That's not a very popular walk to take, especially in a highly scientific and a highly technological society. Faith is not beyond our reason. It is not unreasonable to believe. All belief is to accept the truth on the testimony of someone else. You and I have the testimony of Peter, that other disciple, Mary Magdalene, and those early disciples of Jesus. As in the Acts of the Apostles reading, Paul says, not only did they see him, but they ate with him, they drank with him, they shared life with him. On the basis of that testimony, you and I are called to make an act of faith. We were first invited to make that act of faith in the sacrament of baptism. And we are invited every time we come to the table of the Lord to make that act of faith, even though I do not see. Well, on this Easter Sunday, I would invite you to join with me as we renew the promises of that baptism by which we were first invited to walk in faith. As we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, the faith which you and I seek to live. Please stand. You're welcome to come to the social hall, the room right below where we are right now after Mass. Coffee and rolls are being served. I want to take a moment of time to thank truly very heroic people. The people who brought their children to church this morning. You were probably up at 4:30 to get them all ready. It takes hours, pretty close. And Jacob, you were just wonderful. Just wonderful. For a guy with all that enthusiasm, you were just wonderful. Never, ever, ever be afraid to bring your kids to church. I'm well aware that they are not adults. So they're not going to sit still. And they're going to talk when they want to talk. But none of that bothers me one single bit. So feel free to bring them. It's terribly important to do that. By the time your children, 85 years from now, are grandparents, Easter Sunday will happen and they'll be at a table and their granddaughter or grandson or great-granddaughter or great-grandson will say, "Grandma, Grandpa, what was Easter like when you were a kid?" And they'll tell the story. They'll tell the story. And part of that story will be their experience as a child in celebrating this feast, coming with their mom, their dad, their grandma, their grandpa, their aunts, their uncles, their brothers or sisters, whoever, coming to church as a significant part of what Easter means to them. We can never, ever, ever underestimate the formative power of experiences in the lives of children. And so thank you for bringing your kids. Thank you for taking the time and making the effort, which is certainly not an easy thing, to get them ready for church on Easter morning. Thank you. Please, let us pray.